Let us turn to the portion of God's word that has already been read in our hearing, in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. And let us look briefly this evening, as the Lord may enable us, at words in verse 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And here in the Song of Solomon we have a precious portion of the Word of God. It takes the form of a song of loves, a love song. And a love song between the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and his people, between the Saviour and his church. It is called, in the first verse, the Song of Songs. It is the Song of Songs because it speaks of the love of loves, that greatest of love, that we can experience the love between the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and his people. There is greater love, of course, between the persons of the Trinity. We cannot enter into that, but the greatest love that we can experience is this love between the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and those who are his. And what a precious gift, what a precious truth this is to those who are the Lord's. Who can say, I love the Lord, with the psalmist. Who can echo that's the psalmist's words, remembering what the Lord has done for them. I love the Lord. And here in verse 3 we have the believer addressing the Saviour. The child of God addressing the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And in this part we have a picture. We have a picture of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in the eyes of the Lord's people. We have something of the name of Christ. Thy name is as ointment. We have a picture here that would be familiar with those who lived in the East, in these times especially. Not so familiar to us. We live in different times and in a different place, in different climate and different circumstances. But if we look at something of the times in which these words were originally written, there is much that we can learn about the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He was speaking to us here in these pictures to help us to understand how much easier it is to be able to relate these things to something that we can see, something we can imagine. And the Lord in his mercy relates these things to us in this way, knowing our ignorance, knowing our difficulties. So let us look at, for a little in the first place, at the name of Christ as ointment. What that can teach us about the Saviour. But we see this name is as ointment poured forth. That is very significant as well, of course. And in the second place, let us see something of the name of Christ, as that is the ointment poured forth. And lastly, we have the response of those who truly believe. Therefore do the virgins love thee. First of all, then, the name of Christ as ointment. We have in these scriptures a good number of names given to us descriptions, names of Christ to help us to understand something about himself. In Gruden's Concordance, there is a list of over 100 such names. And here, this is one of them. Thy name is as ointment. What do we understand by someone's name? The Shorter Catechism reminds us about the name of Christ being his being, his person, his character, his offices, his works, his word, all that whereby he maketh himself known. We speak of someone's name when we speak of their reputation. What sort of a reputation do they have? They have a name for being strong. They have a name for having this particular characteristic or that characteristic. It speaks about their reputation. It speaks about their person, about their character, what that person is like. Not only what they are called, but what that person is like. And so here we have this description of Christ. Thy name of the Saviour is as ointment poured forth. This is a description of his character, of his person, of his being, a description of who he is and what he does. Thy name is as ointment. Ointment or oil, which is the same word that would be used for oil, used for anointing. Speaks of the holy oil. In Exodus we read of the holy oil, the description of it there, how it was to be produced. It was not to be copied. This particular holy oil was for a particular purpose. The details were clearly laid down. And there were oils and ointments for general use as well, apart from the holy oil. But let us see first of all a little about this holy oil that was used for anointing kings, anointing priests. It was not to be copied, it was sacred, devoted for the service of God. There were other oils, other ointments that could be used for cleansing and for other reasons, other purposes, as we shall come to see, we trust. But this was sacred oil. This particular composition was set apart for the use in the service of God, not to be copied, not to be abused. So we read in Psalm 40 of the Saviour having been set apart, devoted to the service of God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He was devoted to the service of God. Devoted to the service of his Father. Devoted to doing that which the triune God had decreed. That was not to be abused. This holy oil was a compound of olive oil and various spices. Cinnamon, calamus, cassia, myrrh, and so on. All these various spices, we don't have time to go into that in detail just now, but all beneficial, all significant in various ways, all having particular benefits. And so the oil of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, full of benefits. These benefits, though, were mixed together. This oil composed these various spices mixed together in the olive oil. The Lord kept settlement. And so we have all the benefits of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the benefits of the gospel, all the blessings, the many and various blessings that he pours out upon his people mixed together. Just as the spices were mixed together in this holy oil, so the blessings of the Savior are mixed together for believers. Because he knows that we need them. He knows that we need them all. One wouldn't be enough. We need them all. And so he mixes them together. All the blessings of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All these blessings that he pours out upon us belong to us. He has given them to us in the gospel, in his word. These rightly belong to each and every one of the Lord's people. Whether you are here this evening, newly born in the faith of God, or whether you've been serving the Lord for 50, 60 years, all these blessings, each and every one, are needed by you and belong to you. Compounded, mixed together. This holy oil was used for anointing. Anointing the priests, anointing the tabernacle, anointing the furniture in the tabernacle, and so on. This speaks of the Savior as being anointed as the great priest, a priest that we read of again in the book of Psalms. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the anointed priest of God, the one set apart as the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron, the Aaronic high priesthood that were instituted in the time of Moses. They served the Lord, they offered sacrifices and so on. First of all, they had to offer sacrifices for themselves before they could offer sacrifices for the people. They came and they went. But here this great high priest, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, without beginning and without end, not subject to the passage of time, one who wasn't needed to be replaced regularly, one who didn't need to offer for himself because he was the perfect, sinless Son of God, one whose offerings and whose sacrifices did not need to be repeated because they were imperfect, but who once offered up himself as that wonderful great sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And in that one sacrifice achieved perfection that the Aaronic priesthood, with all their sacrifices and offerings, right as though they were as types, could not in themselves achieve. Christ anointed as the great high priest. The oil of anointed above thy fellows, we read. Christ is the excellent one. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the excellent one in the proper meaning of that word, the one who excels, the one who is far better, far superior to any type, to any figure, to anything that we can compare him to. We must be careful to remember that, of course, when we speak in this way, thy name is as ointment poured forth. These give us pictures, these give us glimpses. But this one that we are talking about is far more excellent than all the pictures that we could ever imagine of him, all the descriptions that we could ever imagine of him. He is the one who truly excels. And then this word has a reference also to ointment that was used for general purposes, for other things. And there are various references that this can point us to concerning the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was precious, very often. Valuable. These spices were not something that were in common supply. They needed to be imported. In times when importing wasn't as easy as it is in these days, transport isn't as easy, wasn't as easy as it is these days. Spices were very costly, were very valuable. So such oil was precious. It wasn't to be wasted. How that speaks to us of the preciousness of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These spices were rare. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not only there, he is unique. There is none other like him. There is none other that can be compared to him. He is unique. The only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Many adopted sons, of course, all the Lord's people, adopted sons of God, but the only begotten Son of God. Oh, he is precious. Something that is precious, something that is valuable, may be valuable for different reasons. It may be the rarity. It may be the usefulness of it. How useful is this ointment? The ointment of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, useful in various ways, as we shall come to see. Something that is very costly to produce is precious. Oh, the cost that it cost the Savior to, as it were, produce this ointment. The one who suffered and died on the cross of Calvary, what it cost him in his humiliation, what it cost him to provide that salvation, that separation that was involved between the Father and the Son, something that we cannot understand. But he paid the price so that he is as ointment poured forth. This ointment used for anointing, as we have said before, concerning prophets and kings, Christ in the office of prophet, giving his word, showing forth his word. We have spoken of his office as the great high priest, and anointed as king, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who reigns over all, but particularly the one who is the king over his people. The one who reigns over those who are given to him in the covenant of grace. He is our king. Is he your king this evening? The ointment was used to heal various diseases. Medical advances weren't the same in these days as they were, these days that we're speaking of, as they are in the present day. But they had various ointments, various mixtures that could be used to heal various diseases, to assist in the healing process. Doesn't that speak to us of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great physician who heals from the disease of sin, as we were speaking about this morning, who heals from sin, that terrible pandemic that affects the whole earth, that affects everyone in the whole earth, but there in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, there is healing, perfect healing for this greatest of diseases. The ointment was used for purifying, it was used, for instance, on dead bodies, in order that dead bodies would be purified. And that speaks to us of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, purifying his people, cleansing his people from their sin, being washed in the blood. It speaks of the work of justification, being accounted as righteous in the sight of Christ because of Christ's righteousness. His righteousness imputed, given, regarded as belonging to his people. In that great, that wonderful, unimaginable exchange, were it not revealed to us in the Scriptures, whereby the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ took the sin of his people upon himself. He became sin for us. And in return he gave us his perfect righteousness. What a transaction that is. He purifies, he is justified, he accounts us as righteous for his righteousness. But that is not all, but he continues that work of sanctification within the heart and within the lives of his people. That work of sanctification, teaching us, teaching his people the way that we should live. Showing his people more and more of their sin. Were he to show us all our sin at first, we would not be able to bear it. But as we are unable to bear it, he shows us more and more of our sinfulness. He shows us more and more of his love, so that we are moved more and more to do his will, to desire to do that which is pleasing in his sight. He is the one who shows us that which is right, who teaches us in his word, who shows us himself, who draws us more and more to himself. He is the one that enables us more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Though it may seem in our own experience, as we see more and more of our sin, that it is the opposite. Yet he shows us in that work of sanctification that we are enabled to die more and more unto sin, and to live more and more unto righteousness. As the Shorter Catechism expresses it, with full purpose of and endeavour after new obedience. Full purpose of giving more and more of that intention, that purpose of obedience. An endeavour after, a seeking after. Not that that will be achieved in time, but it will be achieved by the time we are taken to be with him forever. He is working that work of sanctification, preparing his people to be with him forever. But we must press on. This ointment was used to invigorate. In a hot, dry climate, the skin would dry out, the heat would tire people out. This ointment would refresh and invigorate, giving increased life, giving more strength, giving more energy to continue in whatever they were doing. and how that applies to the Savior as well. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in this, as the ointment, gives life eternal, gives life abundant. Not merely an existence as we have at present by nature, but giving that life that is life in the fullness of it. I am come, the Savior says, that he might have life, and that he might have it more abundantly. Life in the fullness of it. Life as it was meant to be at creation. And he, in his mercy, in his grace, gives that spiritual life. He feeds, he strengthens, he encourages the child of God. As the child of God reads his word, as the child of God hears the word of God proclaimed, as the child of God meditates upon the word of God, as the child of God looks around at creation, seeing more and more of Christ, being strengthened, being encouraged. And in that connection, what a valuable study it is to study the history of the Church of God down through the ages, to see the attacks that have been made against the Church of God, the condition that the Church of God has found itself in time and time again, and how not by its own strength, but in the providence of Christ, in the strength, in the might, in the power of Christ, he has strengthened and encouraged his people. He has wrought the victory. We read that in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament scriptures. The wonderful victories wrought by God for his people. And as we look down through the history of the church, we can see that time and time and time again. Are we looking to what God has done in the past, remembering that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are we looking to what God has done in the past, knowing that he is able to do the same? As he has done in the past, he is able to do it again. To visit us with an outpouring of his Spirit. Or does that not encourage us to look to him? He feeds, he strengthens his people. He encourages his people. As we look around us at his creation, the words of a hymn come to mind. Heaven above is deeper blue. Earth beneath is brighter green. Something moves in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Even the creation of God around us, as we look around us and see the beauty of his creation, and we see that with the realization that it is the power of God that has created and that sustains it all, that itself should strengthen and invigorate us. This ointment was used for comfort, used in hot and dry climates, to moisten the skin as it becomes dry, to give comfort. How often we find ourselves in the furnaces of affliction, in times of trial, in times of difficulty. He is the one who comforts his people in all the times of trial. We may lose the sense of his presence. May lose the sensible presence of God from time to time. But we never lose the reality of his presence. We may not be aware of his presence. We may, as it were, have turned our face away. But he is always with his people. And he knows our trials, and he knows our difficulties. And he is the one that is that comfort in affliction, the God of all comfort, as again we read from the psalmist. The God of all comfort, however deep the trials may be, he is the one who bears us up. We have those wonderful words in the beginning of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Upholding all things by the word of his power, upholding his people, bearing his people up in his loving arms through the trials and through the difficulties. He is the great source of comfort in affliction. The ointment was something that gave delight. It often had a pleasant smell, like perfume. So the Lord delights that is the child of God. His name is his ointment. His name is his perfume. It has a sweet smell. It draws, as we see in the end of the verse, as we see in the following verse rather, draw me, we will run after thee. He draws with that perfume. He is the one who satisfies every desire of the child of God. He is the one in whom there is satisfaction. He is the one in whom there is that sweetness, in whom there is delight. That is what makes the children of God attractive to one another. It is this ointment poured forth upon them. That ointment of Christ, that smell of the Saviour about the Lord's people, as it were, that draws them together. Ointment would signify honours. As we have pointed out, it was used in anointing. Christ Jesus, greatly honoured. The one who humbled himself, who was exalted at the right hand of the Father. The one who is the all-glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Greatly and worthily honoured. And the word that is used in the original here for ointment, it comes from the idea of fatness or plenteousness. This speaks of the abundance that there is in Christ Jesus. He is not niggardly with his blessings. He pours out his blessings upon his people. Oh, there is plenty. There is no shortage in Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is the one who is able to pour out his blessings abundantly. There is a fullness, there is an abundance in Christ. In him we will never want. But the time is passing, we must press on. This ointment was poured forth. The root idea of this word is being emptied, being poured out, being emptied. He emptied himself. It involves descent, signifying humility. If we pour something out, it descends by the force of gravity. This speaks of the Saviour as he humbled himself. As we read in that precious passage in the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is having the very essence of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form, that is the very essential being, of a servant, was mirrored in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and so on. There we have that clearly given to us of that description of the Saviour handling himself. He emptied himself. This ointment was poured forth as he humbled himself. Had the Saviour not come, there would have been no blessing, there would have been no benefit. We would not have been here. But he humbled himself so that this ointment was poured forth. The idea behind this pouring forth is the idea also of sending forth. Something that is sent forth, as the Saviour was sent forth by the Triune God in order to provide this work of salvation. It was often kept in an alabaster box. You remember, as the Saviour was anointed before his death, as the alabaster box was broken and the ointment would be poured forth, would drop on the feet of the Saviour or whatever it was being used for. It was kept in an alabaster box. That speaks of its preciousness. The alabaster itself was something that was quite precious. And these boxes would often be carefully decorated. But in order for the benefits to flow forth, the alabaster box had to be broken. The container had to be destroyed for the benefit to be received. And so, as the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, his body was broken. His blood was poured forth on the cross of Calvary so that these benefits would flow forth. So that the salvation that was wrought on the cross there could be given, could be provided for sinners such as you and such as me. The container needed to be broken. The body needed of Christ needed to be broken to be crucified. As we remember so clearly at a communion season, when we remember his death, when we remember there particularly his body broken and his blood shed. So that his love was poured forth in every way. His ointment was poured forth in love to the elect, in love to those chosen by God before the foundation of the earth. Not for anything in ourselves, but of his mere good pleasure. Poured forth, poured upon, poured towards his people. So that his people are influenced. His people are blessed, eternally and temporarily benefited. Blessed for time and blessed throughout eternity. His ointment was poured forth. Had his body not been broken, the ointment would have been of no use to us whatsoever. Despite all the beneficial properties, it would have been of no use to us because it would be kept enclosed. But this ointment was poured forth as the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross of Calvary and rose again victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over Satan. Because of that, all these blessings belong to each and every one of his people. So what briefly should our response be Thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Therefore, because of this, because of the love of Christ, he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. And it is because he has loved us, because he has set his love upon us, because he has revealed that love in his word, because he has revealed that love in the application of it, in effectual calling, as we were speaking of this morning, that he enables his people to respond. Therefore, the virgins love thee. The virgins, this speaks of those who are the true children of God, the true believers. Those who are part of the church invisible, maybe part of the church church visible as well. The outward body of those who belong to a particular branch or are connected to a particular branch of the invisible church upon the earth. But this speaks of those who are in the church invisible. Those who are united to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We found, generally speaking, within the church visible. But many, sadly, within the church visible, who are not in the church invisible. The word means literally a young woman. It speaks of youth. What a contrast with the one here who is elsewhere called the Ancient of Days. It speaks of vigor. One who has given life from Christ. It speaks of purity, purity of heart. Those who are cleansed by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who are prepared, who are being prepared, to dwell with him forever. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. The idea behind this expression is literally to breathe after, to yearn for, to desire the company of. This is the one whom they would seek out. Oh, my friends, are you seeking out the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is he the one that you yearn for? Is he the one whom you love, whom your desires are for? Is he your chiefest, your greatest desire? Are you longing for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Can you echo the words that we read in the Word of God? Those who have expressed it. He is the fairest among 10,000. He is the altogether lovely one. He is altogether to be desired. Is that your thought with regard to Christ? Do you have that desire after him? Oh, we must confess so often that our love is not what it should be. Our love is so poor and weak when we think of what he has done for us. But are we breathing out after him? Are we desiring him? Longing to be with him forever? As Paul expressed it, to be with Christ, which is far better. Is that your desire? It also has a sense of your of delighting in. If we have no sense of the presence of Christ, no desire after him, we cannot delight in him. Is he the one that we truly desire? Besides him, all else is tasteless. Do you have a taste for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The hypocrite may have a love to himself, may have a love to the church, may have a love to the body of people who gather in the visible church. But the hypocrite has no taste for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he the one whom you love? Is he the one whom you desire? Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Oh, my friends, do you see the beautiful symbolism of this ointment? The wonder of this ointment poured forth on the cross of Calvary. The love that was displayed there. Do you love him because he has first loved you? Do you have a desire for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you delighting in him? Or is all this foreign to you? You don't really understand what we are talking about. Oh, seek understanding of this, that you would know not only with your head of the truth of the gospel, what a danger it is to know so much of the word of God in the head and yet know nothing of it in the heart. Someone said once that for years he was 18 inches from salvation. He knew it all in his head. He knew everything about it. But there was nothing in his heart. Oh, my friends. Are you here this evening and you are 18 inches from salvation? You know the word of God, you know what it says about the Savior, and yet you have no desire for him in your heart. Oh, seek that you would know this for yourself. Seek that this would be your prayer in the following verse. Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me to himself. Seek that the Lord would draw you to himself in the bonds of love, that you would be enabled by the grace of God to run after him, to be followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Share us in all the blessings and all the privileges that belong to the Lord's people, and all these blessings that were poured out on the cross of Calvary from the one whose name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And may the Lord bless to us his word.